can just have her run list with her. So that way it's more productive and not just like, oh, here's a couple. And then,
yeah, I'm going to call you back.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have more for you later.
Right.
That's my role.
Yeah. Here.
My list of questions.
There I am. Hey, Dan. Hi. Hello. Hello, everybody. Hi. Hello. Hi. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk all this through.
Okay.
I don't waste as much of our time as chit-chat happens.
Sure.
Because then that wastes time, and then chit-chat will happen the next time, too. I'm trying to think of her time. Yeah, think of her time a little bit more. So I'm like, okay, let's just get them all done at once.
Okay. I just want to make sure you're
No, but care. Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it.
How are you?
Hey there.
Hey there. Hey there. How was your day at work?
Beautiful new week.
Yay. It's work.
How was your job?
It's kind of like this one in a way. Some company,
yeah.
Right? It's just putting out fires.
Yes. Yep. For sure. Oh, yeah. I got to open the. I've heard there's a way you can increase the size of
your name a lot.
I think if you just say you
a long time.
Yes.
For you.
I wish.
Like super troopers.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
We have a one just on the other side.
Oh my gosh. I love that movie. It's so good.
I feel like there used to be a popping rock. Because I used to live in there.
Okay.
And, yeah, there's like some kind of way, isn't there?
Yeah.
Marketing for.
Oh, it looks like I already did it, I feel like.
Yeah, you can get the plus.
Yeah.
Side.
Okay. I just can't see as much.
Things and
yeah.
This was always around, so you always saw them around. You're like, oh, this is RH2 like, up here too.
These were things to.
Well, I think they were trying to answer those questions from.
Oh, really?
Nice.
Specifically, I think from Gwen. But
what do you do for them?
I do mostly water system stuff, but we do. Water system,
I see him on
sewer system, and
I see Gwen too.
Camera and mic okay.
Or the city,
or yeah, Clayton Post.
Okay, I see it.
Can the flying under my radar, so that means you're in good.
Yeah, well, first time I've presented to the council as RH2, and before I worked for RH2, I actually worked for the city for a couple of years. That was quite a while ago.
Okay, awesome. Hopefully you got lots of good tonight.
We'll see.
I'm sure it'll be great.
Well,
freaking kidding. For sure.
There he is. Greetings.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello. Hi, guys.
With a sea change.
I feel like it's like they just shuffle it. They go like that.
I know, right?
Boom.
You just get put wherever we're being pulled.
Depends on who's.
You know, it keeps it fresh, right? You never. Okay. Except Dan and I've been table mates a few times.
Dan's kind of got his spot. That's pretty much where he.
Uh huh.
It is.
Quiet corner.
You know what? Do you change the names, Dan, when you get here?
Yeah.
I bet you.
Usurped Council Member Watson by sitting on the end of
him. Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is okay. I mean, are they just trying to show that the bed was not actually what we wanted?
Because
I read through the questions and then.
Yeah, for the.
Well.
Yeah.
Madam Clerk, can I borrow?
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Works.
Will I bring it back?
The code thing. Mm-hmm. I just need a pen to mark it.
Comparison.
I mean, do you have a pen over there? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. I can get one.
Good. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I mean, I read through it, but like,
yeah.
Just like, my question is always when stuff like this comes up, like, what spawned this on?
This all came from the issues they were having at the park, specifically a couple of years ago when they had the giant fights and whatnot. And during COVID, right before and then during COVID.
Your Carter guest?
Negative.
Oh,
I don't
is there one up there? Oh, there is.
I have no idea.
How can you read that from here?
Yeah, right. I know.
It's kind of like husband.
No, I have.
When you look at each other and you talk, then you're a thing. But if you're around the corner,
right.
Suddenly you can hear everything.
Hear everything going on.
Yeah, my wife's in the hospital with her mom. So
I don't think
she's on there. I don't know who that is. There's another Carter that used to be on the council. You're not related.
I mean, it's such a common name.
It is.
Yeah. I heard there was a president at one time, too.
I heard that, yeah. There actually is a relation there.
Way
back. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
To Jimmy Carter?
Well, it goes back to a guy named King. He went by King Carter back in Virginia, back in the days of George Washington. There was two brothers. He had a ton of land. That's why they called him King Carter. Mm. And there was two brothers. One brother went south. West.
It was
interesting.
Oh, that's good.
Wow. Interesting.
Spring troops.
It
I don't think it does anything different, really.
Were you gonna?
Right.
Yeah.
Good evening, everybody. This is the City Council workshop for the City of Bonnie Lake for March 5th, 2024. As always, we always salute the flag first, so everybody can stand. I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, Madam Clerk, could you call the roll, please?
Mayor McCullough.
I'm here.
Deputy Mayor Carter.
Here.
Councilmember Baldwin.
Here.
Councilmember Fullerton.
I believe she's here via video.
Yeah, she was saying her mic was disabled or something a little bit ago.
Councilmember Huebler.
Here.
Councilmember McClymans.
He's also virtual up there.
He said he's in Teams. I can see him there.
Yeah. Top left.
Councilmember Roach.
Here.
And Councilmember Swatman.
Present.
Alrighty, we do have an agenda modification to add an important announcement with discussion afterwards at the end of the agenda. Do I hear a motion?
So second.
Alright, all in favor of modifying the agenda for the City Council workshop March 5th, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay, looks like we are unanimous on that.
Councilmember McClyman's had a hand up. I don't know if he's having some issues with
his mic
surface,
is not
apparently.
Open. If you can hear me, his mic and camera are not.
We can hear you. Thank you. We're working on it.
I have a question. Thank you for enabling my mic. That's all I was trying to get.
Okay.
All right.
Thank
you. Okay, Mr. Sullivan, we will have a presentation from you, and I will now hand the floor. Oh, boy, do you look nice. Are you on camera? Anyway, nice tie.
Thank you, sir. So I will actually quickly turn this over to Clayton Posey with RH2 to do the presentation. This regards two CIP projects that were coming to council to see if there's a possibility of combining them into one project. So,
sorry, Ms. Sullivan, when you say CIP, could you?
Capital improvement projects.
Thank you.
And it has to do with two water reservoirs that are currently both in the capital improvement plan for this year and for the next biennium. And Clayton has kind of going to walk you through kind of a proposal to combine those two projects into a single project. So with that, Clayton, I will turn it over to you from RH2.
All right. Thank you very much for letting me present here tonight. My name is Clayton Posey, RH2 Engineering. Maybe a familiar face to some of you and a new face to others. I've been with RH2 for 14 years. Before that, I actually worked for the city for 2 years as an intern in your engineering department. So I've been around a long time, but first time I'm presenting to the council. Like Jason said, we're going to talk about two projects that are one's ongoing, one's upcoming, and we're going to try and combine them potentially to save the city a significant amount of money to get these two projects done. So let's see if I can figure out how to drive this thing. Do I just click? All right, there we go. So just the briefest overview of your water system here. This map, the blue outline there shows your city limits, and the red outline shows your water service area extending all the way up to King County and the city of Auburn. And here are just your main reservoirs and your sources. And I may slip up and say tanks, reservoirs will be interchangeable during this presentation. So you have your Tacoma Point Reservoir up at the top of your system, which was reconstructed in 2021, 2022. You have your Ponderosa site down here at the south end of your system. You got two tanks there.
Sorry to interrupt. We're not seeing the screen online. Is there a screen that can be shared?
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. So you have the reservoirs at the north and south end of your system, and then your smallest reservoir is here, the Lake Ridge site. And essentially, you guys need more water storage. It's long been identified in your water system plan, and by DOH, you need more for growth and development. You need more water storage for your fire suppression, and particularly, you need it in the center area of your water system. You can see there's not much going on there.
Sorry, yeah. I don't mean to interrupt, but you said the initials DOH, and if you could just explain what that
is. Yes, Department of Health. Sorry, I'll try and explain all those acronyms in the future. So, Department of Health requires this essential component of your water system, your storage. So these are your three storage or tanks that you use daily in operation, and this center one at Lake Ridge is undersized and underutilized, and so if you're going to put more storage, you need it in the center of your system, particularly because all your sources are at the north and south as well, and you only have the one source ballpark in the center, and that's a seasonal source you only use during the summertime. So you have two upcoming projects that have been identified in your water system plan and by DOH. So those two projects, I'll just give a little bit of background. I'm not going to get too much into the details of why they're necessary or how important they are, but really just give you a status of where they're at in their schedule and how they're funded and kind of what we propose for those. So like I said, both of them are capital improvement projects in your water system plan. The little snapshots above are straight from your water system plan. That's the description and the need for them. The Lake Ridge 810 zone reservoir was your water system plan was last approved in 2020, so that plan identified this as going in 2023, so we're a little bit behind schedule according to the water system plan, and I believe you have it in your 2023-2024 budget. The last year, the city obtained a loan from the Department of Health, a drinking water state revolving fund loan for that project. That project is ongoing. RH2 is under contract. We've completed a survey, geotechnical investigation, and pre-design. And it's the results of the pre-design, preliminary design, that kind of led to this presentation here. And then the 748 zone reservoir is planned for 2024 from the water system. Like Jason said, it's in your 2025-2026 budget. It's funded by commodity rates and system development charges. It was anticipated and was included in your last rate study, so it's currently funded, it's scheduled, and at the current schedule, you're looking at designing that in 2025 and constructing in 2026. And as Jason said, we were looking at potentially combining these projects to get them done sooner and also save the city some significant costs. So our pre-design for the current Lake Ridge 810 site is where this came into, this presentation is originating from. This is your existing Lake Ridge site. This is the 748 reservoir, that small reservoir in the center of your system. You also have a pump station here, the Lake Ridge number one pump station. So this station takes water from this tank and pumps it to residents that are in the 810 zone, which is a higher in elevation. Those houses are higher in elevation than the rest of your system. You can see that it's a really small site. It's very constrained. This tank right here is about 34 feet high. And when we come in and put this tank that we're working on currently, it's just an approximate location of this tank. This one is going to be about 100 feet high, so three times the height. And that would take this pump station. Oh, my mouse went somewhere. There we go. The pump station would then pump and fill this tank, and the tank would be the thing that serves your residents in that zone. So you can see very tight site, hemmed in by trees, hemmed in by neighbors. You don't even have property all the way to the street. This is an easement that you get access through. So you can imagine trying to get your machines, your dump trucks, your cranes. There's a lot of constructability issues. You have to protect this existing tank while we build this here. This outline, the dashed outline, is the foundation for this big, tall tank. We call it a mat slab foundation, but it's a pancake of concrete 5 feet tall, and it's 10 feet under the ground. So we have to build, excavate this massive hole to get the foundation in for this tank.
And how close is that to the original?
Their foundation, yeah.
Yeah, it would be, we would have to make sure that the foundations don't, aren't in conflict. So it's not set yet, but it would be that the foundation would be at least 10 feet away from the existing tank. So massive hole, about 300 dump trucks would need to come in and haul off dirt. And you can imagine dump trucks trying to get in this small access, trying to, this is a retaining wall right here. They'd be kind of sneak past your tank and get in here. Building these tall tanks requires large cranes, big sheets of steel. So these cranes are lifting up those sheets of steel, and they would have to tiptoe around this tank to get it in. And they also have to construct typically the roof of the reservoir on the ground. So maybe they build it over here and have an even larger crane lift that roof onto this 100-foot tall tank. And so looking at it, it's just constructability issues. There's some risk with the existing tank there. We talked to tank contractors, and it is possible to do it. But difficult constructability and risk comes with cost. And so we thought, is there a benefit to constructing both tanks at once? You come in, you take out this existing tank, and we've looked at being able to operate that zone without this tank in there. We can do it. And that would just open up. You have an empty site there. We could even get rid of this rock wall, and you'd have all the room you need for the dump trucks to get in here. You know, you could have tandem dump trucks with a truck and trailer instead of just single dump trucks. All your crane, you'd have the laydown area for your big sheets of steel and for your roof and for all the other construction vehicles. And so I really think there's a lot of benefit to doing that. It reduces risk. And so these are kind of our reasoning why you would combine these projects. The number one reason is it provides significant cost savings. At the top of that would just be your economy of scale. You're buying in bulk, so you're getting two tanks, and all those material costs would be significantly larger under one project, and so you get a price reduction in your materials. It also is more attractive to contractors. They have their crew out there for longer. They can give you better prices because it's going to be a better project for them. It's more attractive, and you'll probably get more bids or more competitive bids by having larger projects. It reduces your risk. You don't have to worry about protecting that tank the whole time you're constructing. It reduces your nuisance to the neighbors, having one project instead of two projects. It also allows you to reduce the overall construction timeline. So a project like this, we'd probably have that tall tank. They'd have 300 working days to get it done, and the smaller tank, 200. So a total of 500 working days. But if we combined it, a lot of those things would be shared, so you'd have 400 working days. Well, that's a significant cost savings. It lessens the nuisance, the construction nuisance to the neighbors. It also helps to reduce your construction administration costs, so all your city staff time, your inspectors, the water operators who are going out there. If you use a firm like RS2 to do services during construction, having 100 less days of construction saves significant costs there. And then also one of the biggest things is just your mobilization, your demobilization, your overhead. So when these contractors come out, they're often, these tank contractors are pulling people from Alaska and Hawaii, these special welders that go way up high and weld these things together. They're bringing in special equipment. These huge cranes cost tens of thousands just to deliver to the site. So being able to do that one time instead of two separate times is a lot of cost savings there. And then there's cost savings in the design cost, having one big package versus two, one set of plans, specs, specifications, and a cost estimate that an engineer is putting together instead of two. Seems the same thing, kind of buying in bulk, economy of scale there. So we reached out to tank contractors, and just off the top of their head, they're thinking, oh, yeah, 15% cost savings. You know, we estimate 10 to 20% in the red there. And on two projects that are easily over $10 million together, that's a significant cost savings for the city. And then there's these other reasons to do it as well. The 748 tank in particular is going to help you with your summertime use and your reliance on Tacoma water. So getting that tank done 2 years earlier, 2 years ahead of schedule, will help you in that regard. And saving, you know, a significant amount of money helps control your rates, because you did a rate study. You said, we need to do these capital improvement projects. We need this much money. You then go spend less. The next time you do that rate study, you know, you'll see how that affects that, and that's a benefit for the city. So just on every level of the project, the design, the construction, during construction, after construction, the benefit it has to the operators and how it improves the water system hydraulics and how it helps them operate the system, reduces risk. We just think it's a really good opportunity for the city to get two projects done for less money and get it done ahead of schedule.
I have a question before you can. How is this going to affect the water usage of our residents while it's being under construction?
Yeah, good question. So really the only difference between doing these two projects now and doing them separate is we would be taking down that 748, that existing tank, for a good period of time. And I say that that tank is undersized and underutilized. It's a 748 zone reservoir, so it should have an elevation at the top of the tank, should be 748. It's actually at 740. So it was built in 63, I think, and for whatever reason, its elevation is actually at 740. What that means is it's not really being used right now. In the wintertime, it's not being used at all. No water going in and out. In the summertime, it gets some use. But your other two 748 tanks, your Tacoma Point tank up by Lakeland Hills and your other tank down by Bonnie Lake, they should all three be at the same elevation at the top of the tank, and they should all lower and fill at the same rate. But since this tank is lower, it's not being used. So your Tacoma Point and your Ponderosa tanks have 8 feet more water in it than this tank. And so they have to drop 8 feet before a drop of water leaves this existing tank, the 748 tank. That's one of the reasons why we want to replace it, and it'll help you in the summertime having all that extra water. So either way, you're going to have to take that tank offline while you build another one, and being able to get it done sooner helps, because the more you grow and the hotter the summers get, the more it's going to be difficult to survive without that tank. So getting it done 2 years ahead of schedule is going to help you.
Mr. Sullivan, make a note to tell former council member Decker this next week at the citizen commentary. Not even listening. I was just saying, make a note to tell Mr. Decker next week about what we're doing about this and the potential fluoride hazard coming from Tacoma water. Okay. Sorry, that's a. Could you continue, please?
Are there any other questions, or did I answer?
Oh, are we at the end? Yeah, open it up for questions.
Yeah.
How do we maintain the fire flow requirements with the tank offline then?
You know, this tank doesn't really help, again, that much with your fire flow requirements because it has, you know, that deficiency in its height. And you have still all those other redundant sources. You got your tanks, you have your pump stations, and so, and again, it has to happen one way or another. At some point, this tank is going to be taken offline while you build a new one. And so doing that at a time, you know, when it's, if you can get it done sooner, or if you can reduce that construction time like we had discussed, that only helps that issue.
Who knows the finance end of it then? Because it seems obvious that if you can save money, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the financial implications of moving the timeline around?
So Jason could certainly pop in there. I guess all I know is that they are both planned for and budgeted currently, and I think within, if we did combine them and do both of them together, it would probably, you know, move the 810 project a little bit later in the schedule and move the 748 project a little bit earlier in the schedule. But I think it all fits within your biennium budgets. Jason could elaborate.
Yeah, we, in the rate study that was adopted by council earlier this year that was presented, we assumed that using revenue that's already in the water fund to would be able to be available to construct the second tank starting in 25-26. And so that would be part of our CIP that's coming forward. As I said, the funds are there and it's part of that CIP project list. This one was being funded by that loan, so the funding's already secured through the loan. So I guess the next step, I think the only cost that we'd have to bring back to CDC right now is the additional cost to increase RH2 scope to design the second tank, because that wasn't in their current scope. We'll have to work through some mechanics with the Department of Health, because their loan was only for one tank. So we would have to probably be kicking in some funds this year to budget for that additional design scope, so that we can both get them ready to go sometime in late 2024, early 2025, when both sets of funding can come available.
And Mr. Sullivan, what is your experience with the Department of Health's ears towards economies of scale and presenting it to them like that it would ultimately be cheaper for the city?
I haven't had any personal conversations with them, but in conversations with Ken, our city engineer, and with RH2, because we have that storage deficiency and we're escalating the projects to address that storage deficiency that they've identified, and we're doing that without any additional requests for revenue, we would be very surprised if there would be a pushback from Department of Health at that level, because we're addressing both of the issues simultaneously in an expedited way.
Okay. Councilmember Roach has a question.
Just along that same line there, so you got two funding sources for the two projects. So when you go back, is there, I guess I wasn't here before on why we decided to fund one through a loan and then one through the rates. But is there is there benefit to doing the loan? And could we get a loan for the second one? Or is it, what was the reason between the two different funding sources?
I'm not 100% sure why the council selected to go with a loan for the first tank and then use rates that we already have for the second tank. I think it might have been to accelerate the projects, because it's a lot of uplift simultaneously. I know Sherry's on the line. I don't know if she was part of those discussions when we did the loan, but it was probably because we have two $4 million reservoirs to build within a four-year window. The loan allows us to, and I think it had something to do with rates too, the way we balance the rates. So
that's exactly it.
Yeah.
We balanced the rates on getting the loan. The rates would have been much higher had we not gotten the loan. I'm not sure where this other project falls in line. Did you say it's in 25-26, Jason?
Yeah, when we looked at the rate analysis that was put together, it showed it as a 25-26 project.
Hey, okay. Councilmember, I'm sorry, Ms. Ryerson.
I was just wanting to know, are we proposing to do this year then?
No, we would still do the construction. That's what Clayton was mentioning. We would push the construction for both tanks to 25, so that our loan and our financing through the fund are lining up together.
Okay. Councilmember Fullerton has her hand up.
Yeah, I think I just got one answered, so I wanted to know how soon we could start. And then would this help us to be able to stop taking water altogether from Tacoma, or are we still going to have to take some? I would like to figure out how we can avoid getting water from Tacoma.
I mean, I'll look at Clayton if he has an answer. I think the short answer is we wouldn't be able to stop altogether, but it would significantly reduce our reliance. Clayton, do you have anything to?
Yeah, you're correct on that. You're not going to stop altogether taking water from Tacoma, but in those high demand times in the summer, you'll be taking less if you have more storage.
Deputy Mayor Carter.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. What would the time frame be for a project like this from start to finish?
Construction time frame?
Yeah.
A tank is about a year long, and if you added another tank, the construction of the tank adds some time, but you save on the civil, the site work is about the same. So you know, maybe you'd push it to a year and a half long. So you're looking at 1.5 years to do both together or about 2 years to do separately.
And then, thank you. I like the idea of it, of saving money and doing it together. It makes sense, right, to do it at the same time. You're already there. But my other question would be, if it's a hot summer or something like that, what is the pressure on the water system at that point for that area?
Yeah, that's certainly something to consider. And it could be that while you are constructing that tank and you've got that existing tank offline, that you may need to rely on Tacoma for that period just during the summer. It should be fine during the off season, in the winter, spring, fall. So I think that probably would happen either way. When you go do that tank separately 2 years from now, you still have to take it offline and still might be relying on Tacoma a little more if that occurred during the summer. So the big push is just getting it done sooner. You know, your demand is just getting more and more every year. So.
And with that, would our increase in population have anything to do with that?
Yes.
And one thing to keep in mind, too, is we would actually save on the cost escalation through inflation. So if we bid all the projects in 2025, we're going to save on that inflation than if we bid the projects in 26 or 27. So by combining them, we're actually able to – there's another cost savings that's built into that through bidding earlier in that inflationary cycle.
And what do you want the council to do with this? So you're presenting it right now. What's our timeline?
I think what we're trying to get from the council is kind of a – consensus that we would like to move forward combining the projects. The next steps for us would be to go to Department of Health to make sure they're on board. We wanted to stop here first to make sure the policymakers were supportive of this decision. Then the second would be bringing a contract amendment through the CDC committee to increase the scope of RH2's contract to begin design work on both tanks simultaneously. While there's a cost savings, there's still an increase over the current contract amount.
And Ms. Robertson, how would they bring that before the council? Would it be through a resolution or a motion, or do you, or just informal?
No, it's a contract. To committee, and then to council, and then pass. Which projects are we going to not do if we do the reservoir? Then,
from my understanding, this doesn't change anything because we're just following the plan that was already in place. We're just sliding one project to be a little slower, uh-huh. and then so it times up with the second project. So we're not kind of moving things around as much as just combining.
So to change the contract, it depends on the size of the contract and the size of the change. It might be something under your code that could be done administratively by the city administrator. If it is large enough to come to council, then it would come to council. And when council approves contracts or amendments thereto, it's typically done by resolution.
Okay. All right. Oh, Councilmember Baldwin.
So even if you slow down the start of, you know, the tank so that they line up together, even up until that point, the tank that's not really used but is being used will still be able to be used, right? And then nothing is really going to happen until the slowdown, they line up, and then you're saving costs by doing it at the same time practically, right?
Yeah, and I think the slowdown is not as great as we would envision. RH2 is currently in design.
Okay.
You're talking about moving a bid that would occur probably late fall this year to a bid that would occur early spring of next year. So it's not like a year or a month slowdown. We're not ready to go to bid. We're still in design.
But the tank will still be functional just up until that point anyway, so
yes.
It's not like it's slowing down water usage, I guess.
Yeah, it would be there through this summer.
Okay.
All right, any further questions before we move on?
So does this sound like a plan the council would like us to proceed with?
I mean, based on what you've presented, sure.
Yeah, I would say yes.
Yeah. Like yes.
Thank you for the direction. We'll get moving that way.
Thanks all for
right,
looking into
you,
that.
Sullivan. All right, let's move to council open discussion. Councilmember Swatman.
Yeah, so staff was nice enough to put together a sewer tour, so all of those council members that are interested in that kind of stuff on the 19th.
A sewer tour?
Of Sumner, right? Sewer tour, Sumner sewer. the 19th, which is a Tuesday indeed. So there's going to be a shuttle available from here. We're going to load up at like 3:45 on the 19th.
March.
We'll run down there, have us a beautiful tour, and then we are supposedly going to come back up here at 5 o'clock. Is what the story is. We needed a head count, of course.
I'm sticking to it.
Yeah. That's what
time
the theory.
Is it starting? What time?
So we'll be, if you meet down there or about down here. So, you know, it'd be meeting on site down there at 4, meeting up here at like 3:45. So.
Well, Councilmember Huebler, you're already down there, though, right?
Lost. Sorry, I missed the time.
So we're at 3:45 for the bus?
I didn't hear it.
2:45 for the plane. Takes longer to go through TSA and then go down there, and then we'll come back up here because we still have our council business to do at 6.
What is the address? Is it in our email? I remember seeing that email. I'm sorry, I have not responded.
It's impossible to get to unless you've been there before, so I'm kind of quasi-serious. You can get really lost.
So just being here would be better. 3:45.
But you can figure it out. Yeah. Whichever works best for you, obviously. It's in that weird area. You got to preview it if you go down there. Public is, of course, invited. We just need a head count for that, right? Because there's more than three.
What do you want the head count by?
So let's say there's more than three, and we'll just automatically. Is she shaking her head? She's just going to do a special
meeting. Councilmember Swatman, did you cancel the CDC that day?
That is our CDC meeting. It's like a, what do we call it? A
CDC at the sewer.
CDC Plus.
It's a vacation, a little tour.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to go see the sewer system.
It's really fascinating.
Okay.
Yeah, and the address for it is 13114 63rd Street East in Sumner.
All right. We have further open discussion.
You're looking for a head count, though?
When do you want the head count?
No, because apparently...
Okay, so don't worry.
We're still looking for a head count to make sure we know who's all going down there and riding the shuttle.
Well, we could.
No more than 14 in the show.
No. We don't want that.
We're trying to take a shuttle, so there's not a lot of parking down there.
Mm.
And so by trying to shuttle everybody down.
I'll be like coming straight from work, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
You can go straight.
Just right by it.
Because getting back up the hill will be fun at that.
Won't it?
Yeah. Pack a lunch and wear your name tag. All right. Any further open discussion before we move on? Okay. So seeing no other open discussion, we now have a review of the council minutes. Councilmember Fullerton?
I did not see any changes.
All righty, very good. So now we'll move on to our discussion item tonight, which is on Ordinance 1714. Deputy Mayor Carter, the floor is yours.
I'm sorry, hold on. I was not prepared for this.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Good night.
It
never stopped me, you know.
The answer is are the ones that were in the packet, yes, for all of that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know what you want me to say.
Jason did a great job.
Well, let's open it up to the floor.
There's questions, I can try and answer them, or I can pass it off to somebody else. I just wasn't sure I was presenting that. Sorry.
So does anybody have any questions on Ordinance 1714?
No, I really like this layout, though. This really helps to have these pieces all just, here's the question, here's your answer. So nice job.
Yeah, you did a great job on that. Thank you.
Is that how the questions lined up? That's not how I read it.
These were the questions that we understood them.
Okay.
We didn't get like an official list. We were, based on our conversations of what we were each hearing, these were the questions that we understood were coming through, and we tried to provide answers.
Yeah, but based on these attachments that you had, then you created a question based on those attachments. Is that what you're...
No, these attachments are the supporting documents that are referenced.
I did see that.
In the answer.
Okay.
We just put this from a memo perspective. You always just list all the attachments that are included.
Yeah.
As you read through, we reference back to which one of those attachments. So if you read through question...
From above.
Yeah.
Yeah. These were kind of all the questions we had, like... ago at work.
Yeah, I don't see where the prices are for the parking, how much we're going to be charging. I don't see where that is. And also, right-of-way, I know there was quite a few signs that were taken down during the campaign for city council, and it was based off of right-of-way. So the definition of right-of-way still doesn't really, isn't clear as to why those signs were taken down. It says it's for public use and secured by the public for purposes of public traffic, drainage, and or franchised utilities. That doesn't really answer my question why the signs were taken down. If it's for public use, then it should be open to public for our candidates to be able to post their signs. And also, you know, why were the code enforcement officers out and about removing signs during a campaign season? Because the sign removal was based off of, you know, whether it was 5 inches from the curb or 5 inches from the pavement. So is that basically, I mean, 5 feet from a sidewalk, or is that 5 feet from the street? And if it was 4 feet and, you know, 10 inches, then why was it removed? Why can't they just take the time to move it over half an inch rather than remove it and take it all the way back to the building? And then also, it's stated now, I guess, that the city will be holding the signs for about 2 weeks rather than disposing of them. So is that correct?
Well, it was correct for me, Councilmember Fullerton. Yeah. When I violated the campaign sign ordinance 2 years ago multiple times, they very nicely removed the signs, and they had them here for me all folded and neat and everything. So if you get it, if you get it removed, you'll get your signs back.
So I don't know where to start kind of on those questions.
That's what I'm saying. Like, when I'm reading through this, I've got, I have it broken down into the sewer system, forestry and fees, signs, parking, right-of-way, and legal questions. So that's what I'm saying about this particular ordinance on why it was so confusing, because even though it's in the title, so technically it's legal, but according to the RCW's bills must contain no bill shall embrace more than one subject, and that shall be expressed in the title, and that's RCW A.12.130. So I understand that they're all in the title, so we can go on a technicality, but, you know, I have these broken down into so many different sections that I have too many questions. So we have sewer connections and the cost of that, whether it's mandatory or not. You have Allen York parking fees, which I still don't know what those fees are. I don't see a Bonnie Lake Municipal Code ordinance on how much those fees are going to be. And then we're going into the unfit buildings and how to appeal those claims. And I'm still having issues with the code enforcement officers. You know, is this part of the comprehensive plan? Is this part of the Growth Management Act? Where did they come from? Why do we need them? Are they going to be serving with warrants? Are they, you know, I almost want to table this some more so we can have more time to look at all of these different items on here.
Well, are you proposing a motion to table, Councilmember Pullerton?
I believe so.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
All right. Motion to any discussion before we vote.
Only on the table.
Member Roach. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just wondering where we're going with it. I understand the concerns, and I had some myself when I was going through it the first time.
Point of order, though. Sorry, Mr. Roach, but we did have a valid motion to table and a second, so it's without discussion. So I think you'd have to limit your,
right.
My understanding. I don't know, right?
Procedure is correct, Councilmember Swatman, but I believe we are ready to take it to a vote. Motion to table the discussion regarding Ordinance 1714. Say aye.
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 How many ayes did we have? We had Councilmember Fullerton, Swanman.
Do we have really quorum? Faster. Can you say that again, what we're doing here? I don't understand exactly what we're doing.
We are, the motion was to table the discussion of Ordinance 1714. I'm assuming to go back to either committee or for time for Councilmember Fullerton's questions to be answered by the proper authorities. Okay. Ms. Robertson.
So there's nothing that says that you have to keep discussing Ordinance 1714, but it did, I just want to remind the council, it did pass. It has been published.
It's
in effect.
Yeah.
So tabling additional questions about it, that's totally fine, but I wanted to make sure the council knew what you were voting on.
Right.
The ordinance is already in effect. So just thought I would give you that point of information.
Okay.
So my point is that I actually requested that we not pass it since we were the majority. It wasn't passed 7-0. It was passed, I believe, 5-2. And since I'm in the majority, I wanted to pull it off of the consent. I did ask Councilmember Swatman if we could take it back to CDC, and that would have been, I believe, 4 days after it passed. I think it was on a Friday. And then I was told no, it was more than 5 days when I requested that we have more discussion on it the following Tuesday. So it had been a week.
So as the parliamentarian, the time to bring a motion to the table for reconsideration of the ordinance has expired. So that is not something that the council has the power to do right now. You certainly can talk about this and direct staff to bring additional ordinances that would change what you already passed. That's certainly something in council's power, but it is outside of the window to reconsider the ordinance, which is passed. It's been sent to the code publishing to publish. It is effective law in Bonnie Lake.
Deputy Mayor Carter.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So it sounds like maybe the best way to move forward would be if you have certain questions or certain issues with parts of it, we could bring each one back, say, to CDC to come back through that process to essentially fix each thing or amend it. Yeah, does that sound right? I just want to make sure.
That's what I'm hearing.
Okay. How about amendments to the ordinance, Madam Parliamentarian?
Can do that. Certainly not to speak for our interim public services director, but if Councilmember Fullerton has specific questions, I'm sure staff would be willing to talk with her, meet with her to answer those questions. But the committees have the authority to, and the council has the authority if you want code looked at, but you would be looking at existing code because this is now existing code.
Right.
So if there's things that you want to discuss, have information on, direct amendments to,
that is certainly council's prerogative.
Right.
Okay, so what I'm having a problem with is also prohibited parking zones. When we were essentially promised that we would have additional parking for boat trailers and cars at Allen York Park, and we do not have additional parking, and all of a sudden we have all kinds of prohibited parking zones posted all over Allen York Park, and where people are going to be getting tickets or be towed, and I don't think that that was appropriate when we didn't add additional parking. So that would be one thing that I would like to have on reconsideration until we are able to tear down some of those buildings and make additional boat launch parking as well as car parking. We had discussed Ballpark 4 and what happened with that. So I guess to take down prohibited parking zones or restricted parking zones until we bring forward some more parking.
Right, if I might, Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Fulton, we can consider any changes necessary moving forward easily enough, right? So if you can identify, as you did, like the parking zones that are an issue, you know, we could suggest changes in that and have staff, you know, we could discuss that at a committee level, have staff bring forward suggestions for that, and we can get those modifications made if the council wants to entertain them, right?
Yes, exactly. So yeah. That's, I guess what I'm asking is, can we put that on CDC,
yep.
Council Member Swatman,
yeah, I would think
to
so.
Look at not having restricted parking zones until we add more parking?
Yeah, we can definitely, if the mayor and administration would have staff entertain that, then they could put it on the next available, I would request on the next available CDC meeting, which is on the 25th or something.
Yeah, and 25th, and I see Mr. Vodopich nodding his head, so that would be good. Okay. Some of this is on the agenda for the retreat.
Councilmember Baldwin. Oh, I'm sorry. That's actually pretty important. Why don't you announce that?
Yeah, so this is actually on the agenda for the retreat, so that, as far as the talking about the parking aspect, boat trailer, all that kind of stuff.
Okay. Councilmember Baldwin.
I just want just the consideration to be noted that as far as parking is concerned and the restrictions that are being added, it's because residents are having a difficult time with people out-of-towners coming in, flooding into the streets and parking and blocking their cars, their houses. It was quite a mess with residents, like local residents. So I know that maybe there could be discussion in committee at CDC, but this is also a public safety issue. So
Not to mention tearing up their lawns with tires and littering.
Yeah, it was really ridiculous. Yeah. Just want everybody to know that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm hearing we could definitely recommend if there's anything that comes out of either committee that the committees, you know, coordinate. Because there is overlap, obviously, between public safety and parking.
Okay.
So with the motion,
I do recall that.
With the motion on the floor, how do we proceed?
Is there a motion to table the motion to table?
There, well, no. Why don't we just vote on it and then say
remove the motion?
Okay.
Then we
all you do is have to vote on the motion on the floor, and then it'll disappear.
So we're ready.
My motion.
No. Nope. Whatever. Just call for the vote.
Exactly.
Call for the vote.
Okay, very good. And all in favor of tabling the motion regarding the discussion on ordinance 1714, say aye.
I think it's removing.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay.
Nay.
Nay.
Okay, good.
Very good. I think
now Mr. Roach can continue with good thoughts.
Yes. Very good. Okay. Any further discussion before we move on?
On this?
I think we're done with that. So now we can move on to our announcement and discussion. My commentary on this is that the power of gossip actually is quite powerful. I wish we could use that to finance our utility bills here. Bonnie Lake. However, the announcement that I have, if anybody's heard the gossip, it is indeed true, and I need to verify it. I am submitting my resignation as mayor effective tomorrow, March 6th, at the end of the business day. This is due to I've accepted a position as assistant prosecutor with the tribe of Puyallup, and in doing so, there was a sovereignty issue that came up that was fully vetted, fully researched, and it's something that I, as an individual, could not overcome as a mayor. It created a conflict, and indeed, given the choice of not accepting the position and resigning my mayorship, it was incredibly difficult. I discussed it with numerous people, not the least of which was my wife, over the weekend when we finally got the final word on Friday what the tribe's decision was on this. And it just really boils down to the fact that I have to look after my family. The benefits of taking this job is just too great for the benefit of my family. And given that, I will leave it to you to discuss the matter. Now that I have made the announcement, Madam Clerk, don't take my badge or use away just yet. I need to clear out my office and return the laptop and all of those neat little details. But at this point, Madam Clerk, the floor is yours, and I will. I need to absent myself at this point, but I will be around tomorrow. Oh, Councilmember Hubler.
Congratulations on your new job.
Oh, thank
you.
That
is really cool that you got that opportunity, and I think that will be tremendous for you.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you, Councilmember Hubler. Now, before I rust the microphone, I need to get out of here.
Well, thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Thank you. Congratulations also.
I have a dabble for
it. It's been a pleasure.
Appreciate you. Thank you. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
It's my approach.
Congratulations, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, here.
Thanks. Hi, Mayor. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much.
Didn't even sound like
no, that. No, that was Gwen for hours. And I'll say all that tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I didn't write.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. So.
Okay. So with Mayor McCullough having given his resignation, council members, you will have two choices to fill that vacancy. One is to appoint a qualified outside person, or two, to appoint one of the current council members as long as they are qualified to the position. We will be placing this on the agenda for next Tuesday. We cannot appoint until it's vacant, but if you guys would like to discuss it tonight so that that way on Tuesday we can do a discussion summary, discuss anything new, and then depending on what your direction kind of is tonight, we can be prepared. If you would like to do a discussion, or would you like to do a complete full discussion on Tuesday, and then depending on what that decision is, we'll have to go till the next week possibly.
Wouldn't we appoint deputy mayor, since that's his job to take over the mayor if the mayor can't do it?
That's really a decision. That's a council decision. The mayor, in a strong mayor form of government, is not automatically assumed by the deputy mayor, because the deputy mayor is a council member. So if you wanted to appoint Deputy Mayor Carter and he wanted to accept, you could do that after the vacancy, which is after tomorrow, end of day, so next Tuesday. And assuming he accepted, then as soon as he was sworn in, you would have a council vacancy, which you would have 90 days to fill. And you guys have adopted – the state law has broad – gives councils broad authority on how to decide how to fill those. You guys have adopted a process where you solicit applications and you do interviews and such. So we would start that process if that is the council's pleasure. But you can't make a decision. You could talk about who to appoint or how to appoint or the process you want to use tonight. You just can't actually vote to make an appointment tonight because we do not have a vacancy until tomorrow end of business.
When we do have the actual vacancy, though, when does that become an actual vacancy?
At the end of business tomorrow. So, I mean,
what happens at the end of business tomorrow?
Well, then we would not have a mayor, but if there's an emergency, Deputy Mayor Carter would be called on because he is Mayor Pro Tem,
right.
Which is, or, you know, Deputy Mayor, so he would be called on, but he doesn't automatically get sworn in as mayor.
He has all the power at that point.
He would have the power along with the city administrator to manage the city.
Well, right. But he has the power at that point.
You appoint someone.
He is the mayor until the council chooses to appoint the actual.
He is Mayor Pro Tem.
Right, with the same powers and all that.
Correct.
Correct. I heard it correct. Okay.
I see it. Hand's been up for a while for Councilmember McClymans.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. So has this occurred in recent history at all?
No.
And if so, how was it handled?
It never, in my knowledge, I don't believe has actually ever occurred in the city of Bonny Lake.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Councilmember Baldwin has her hand up.
Yeah, and Councilmember Roach had a question first, too.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
So the question I had is, assuming that one of the council members moved into the mayor's position that creates the vacancy, so then you've got six council members that are going to appoint, and my thought was you've got six people, so there could easily be a tie.
Mm-hmm.
So does the mayor break that tie?
No.
It is a breakable tie.
Yeah, but not if you only have six members, you can't break the tie.
Doesn't the mayor break the tie?
Yeah, but if he's not a mayor on Tuesday,
government, it's a breakable tie. I can.
No, it's not.
Then would we have five council members, and then we'd have one mayor if deputy mayor takes over? So then we would not have a tie because we'd just have the five council members if. Yes, deputy mayor.
Where'd you lose the other one at? We had seven when we started.
Mayor.
We had seven, Gwen, when we started, and if we lose one of them, that leaves six, I think.
You are correct.
Okay. I hate that.
Okay.
All right.
My math is off.
Councilmember Baldwin.
What a doozy.
right, to say the
least. What a surprise. I wasn't in the gossip. I don't gossip, though, so that makes sense.
I got pretty good.
I guess I want to hear from Deputy Mayor Carter, and I would like to know his feelings and what his thoughts are on potentially becoming the mayor, if that's even something you would want, because it is really different to be the executive branch versus the legislative branch. And I know personally for me, Deputy Mayor Carter is a very valuable person on council, and a lot more decisions I feel like can be made, whereas like mayor is a totally different thing. So I'm just curious what your thoughts are, and maybe that would help us then, you know, with what we would do next too. Like, do you even want it? What are your thoughts?
Exactly right.
So yeah, I'd like to hear from you.
Thank you. Thank you for that. That was very, yeah. Very nice. I appreciate it.
I'd like to hear from you.
Then. Right. Yeah, I've thought about this a little bit over the last few hours and whatnot, but I heard the gossip. Yes, I think I would be interested. I was considering running in 2 years essentially anyway. I do believe it is a completely different position.
It is.
And there's a different vision, I think, that you have for the city and where we're going and that. And so... But to say that, yes, I would be interested in it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
I just want to pipe in because I'm also interested.
Please. Okay.
So.
Sure.
It is also something that I had. Me personally, I purposefully annexed our neighborhood in to the city of Bonny Lake to be able to run for council and mayor at some point. So it has always been on my agenda. Nice.
Councilmember McClymans.
Yeah, I was going to ask, are there any other council members that have a desire to take that role?
We've heard one.
Do they have to volunteer to be appointed?
Everybody steps back.
They're like, yeah, the person left out front, right? Yeah, definitely. Hopefully the council will at least entertain multiple applications at some point, I would imagine, because it sounds like there's at least in this room, there's a couple of people interested, and we may have other people in the public that could be interested.
Councilmember Baldwin.
You're saying accepting applications for people outside to become the mayor or a council member?
Yep, we can. But, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can do either applications or you can appoint from within.
I know from just my own, I guess, thoughts, and I'm just, again, that's why we're discussing and throwing it out there, I do prefer to appoint somebody from the council and then
sure.
accept applications and do, you know, go through the process of interviewing for a council member. But I'm open to your guys' thoughts, too, and why you would want to do it the other way around.
Well, yeah, that's a good question, right? And I don't have any particular... either way, other than, you know, there could be other people in the public that are very well qualified that may be interested. I don't know who they are. You know, you have a recent, the old mayor, Mayor Johnson, you know, I'm sure he's going to say no. I'm pretty much, I kind of know him a little bit, but hard to tell. And who else is around, you know? You have Mr. Roach sitting over there that has been very quiet like he usually is, a very well-qualified candidate. Maybe somebody could twist his arm, and then, you know, the council has to make a choice eventually. There are other people that ran for mayor, was it, or no, wait a minute, sorry, that ran elections and narrowly lost or widely lost or, you know, but you don't know. In my mind, it's always been a thing, I don't know who's out there that's going to apply. You know, when Councilmember Baldwin applied, I had no idea that you were going to put your name in. And I think you're an outstanding choice for a council member.
I appreciate that.
So. Jennifer, so we're having discussion here. What are our choices?
It's whatever we want.
Do we have an application for mayor, or is this like if we decide to appoint a mayor from within the council, then we would just start application process for new council member? Is that correct, or do we need to put it out for application?
So there's no specific state law requirement to do applications for mayor or council appointments. Certainly in my experience, and I've served a lot of cities where there's been vacancies in both the mayoral office as well as in the council offices, it is highly unusual for anyone other than a council member to fill the mayoral seat, although it can happen. There's nothing illegal as long as the person is qualified, has been a resident of the city for the requisite amount of time, and is registered to vote. So that is really a council decision on how you want to fill the seat once it becomes vacant. If you want to have votes on various counts, if you want to restrict it to the council, if the majority of the council wants to do that, then you can certainly just nominate and vote on the different council members who are interested in becoming mayor. So that's something that you could do as early as next week. If the council decides instead you want to have a broader process, the vacancy would exist for a longer period of time. You have to fill it in 90 days before it goes to the Pierce County Council to fill. So you would definitely want to fill it before that happens. You want to have control over your destiny, the city's destiny. So, but there's no requirement that you hold applications and interviews, but there's also no prohibition.
And I'm not suggesting a long period of time, right?
We have a retreat.
I would think that you would just open it up for a very short period of time and take your applications and see what they look like. You know, we, the council, is the decision maker. So it's not like there's going to be any kind of weird, you know, outside force going to do anything. Ultimately, obviously, the council members tend to be the most qualified people. What if you have a staff member that says, hey, I want to be the mayor, you know? You're like, wow, really? You're kidding me, you know? You have to consider that. You've seen some of that in the localities that change around, but, you know, obviously it's a two-year appointment, well-ish, kind of almost. I think it's going to end up being 2 years.
I like the idea the council member Baldwin brought up, is to have it be a council member because we're like in the process of doing a bunch of ordinances and changes in the city, and to have somebody that's already aware of all of the changes and all of the things that we're working on is a huge benefit. And we can appoint a new council member, as we did council member Baldwin. And I just feel like that's a better process, because then you're going to have six or seven council members, and six of us can help the new council member when they get appointed, you know, to kind of get caught up. But a mayor position at this point, I feel, should be appointed from the council, because they're already aware of all the situations that we're in. That's just my two cents.
I think Councilmember Roach, did you have a question?
Yeah, just my thoughts on it. So I agree with Councilmember Schwatman. I don't think there's anything bad about opening up to anybody. So it's good for openness in government. Let people know that we're interested. I think probably it probably will be a council member, because you do come from experience and everything. But I don't think it's a bad thing to be able to put it out there to where we value what other people have to offer, because there, you know, there could be people out there with CEO experience that could put us all to shame.
Right.
To come in and do an amazing job. We don't know if they're out there or not. I mean, nobody's jumping up and down saying they don't want to do that, but but I think it's a good message to be able to do it. I think it could give us a little bit more time too, to have the council, if it's someone from the council, to be able to have it simultaneous, to where if it were a council member who went to the mayor's spot, have that appointment at the same time, if that makes any sense, so that we don't have the 3-3 tie that we're going to end up with, apparently, or not. It's not a foregone conclusion. It could be a unanimous, but when you have a tie, it gives you opportunities to have gridlock. And if there's any way to do it simultaneously to where we don't have any chance of a tie when we bring the other person in for the council.
Is that even possible to do it simultaneously? That's a good question.
I don't know how you
No, you cannot, because the vacancy on the council would not be created until the time that council member will be sworn in as mayor. So you can't recruit at the same time.
And if you decide to put it out, just let you guys know, you'd have to wait till Tuesday to make that decision. Then we have to post it for as long as you guys want. Then take the applications in, do the interviews, to do the point, to do the oath, to do the next step. So it just puts it out. We're retreats on the 23rd, and then it's a budget year.
So the council does, of course, have the option of calling meetings whenever the council wants to call meetings. So the council could say, let's have a meeting tomorrow and decide on what.
Need 24 hours to post.
Well, tomorrow at 7:15. Just saying. So, yeah. But it's not, I don't think, you know, make sure to, you know, have our thoughts together and have a meeting about it at some point in time. Very qualified deputy mayor's been around for many years. It's not like, you know, a new kid on the block there. So that's what you got for after the mayor is vacated. Obviously, Mr. Votopich is very skilled and knowledgeable of what's going on. So there's no like huge, you know, rock the boat thing going on. So you do have a little bit of time in my mind to make a, you know, a reasonable decision. I wouldn't suggest opening it up again for like weeks on end. I'm just like, you know, I would put it out there for a week and say, hey, guess what? We got an opening. Anybody interested? Probably not. And 99% of the time, it's going to be one of the council members is going to be the most qualified person, because this, it's politics. We're going to have several of us vote for people and vote for people. It's just the way it's going to work.
Councilmember Baldwin.
Councilmember McClymonts has his hand raised.
Oh, okay. We'll go to Councilmember McClymonts first then. Thank you.
Yeah, so, you know, I hate to say it, but it would be really nice to have a mayor for the council retreat.
Yeah. Definitely have to. I agree with that.
I agree.
When is that? Is that going to be?
23rd.
So, 23rd. So let's make sure it happens, whatever we do, before the 23rd.
Okay.
Well, I think that means we appoint within the council, and then we open up council, city council position.
Well, yeah, but today's only the, what is it?
The 5th.
The 5th?
It's only 18 days.
got plenty of time to decide.
We still have to do interviews. We still have to, then we're going to open it up. We'll have to do an interview process as well.
So what you're referring to, time for that. What you're referring to is the having a council member by the retreat, right? I think that's what you're saying.
Yeah, that is what she's saying.
Oh, that too, right?
Yeah.
Good luck,
Councilmember Baldwin.
So why don't we do we vote on this then? Do we vote whether we're going to interview a mayor or?
You can direct.
But it doesn't seem like we know what direction we're going in.
You can direct staff to put it out to like to advertise after the vacancy occurs. You could certainly decide on a process right now of what you will do in the event of the mayoral vacancy. You cannot vote on who to appoint, though. But you can decide tonight and give direction to staff on how you want us to bring this back to you next Tuesday.
My vote is to appoint a council member to mayor, and then we open up interview process for filling the position of council.
So we have.
That's just my thought.
Thank you.
What is everybody's thought? Can everybody say what their thought is?
My thought's to open it up.
Okay.
I don't think by closing it off, it does any good for us. Again, we may not go to that pool outside the council, but I don't understand why we would close that off. Okay. Councilmember Hubler?
I want to kind of ask on what they're talking about. Like if we chose to go the route, open it up to the general public, and we said, hey, we want applications to come in, then any council members that want to run for that as well would be in that same application. They would put their application in, all that kind of stuff. So then it would be down to however many are not running to be making that decision, correct?
No, you can vote on yourself.
You have to vote.
So but if you were interviewing people, obviously you'd have the interviewee sitting not on the dais. They'd be probably sitting in a or standing at the lectern or sitting.
Okay,
to be
so
interviewed.
As council members, we can still vote.
Yes.
And vote. Yes.
During that process?
You would be voting on, if, for example, if the council wanted to open it up for applications, you would vote on who of the applicants to interview. You would be voting on who to appoint. Certainly, whether you are in the running for that appointment or not.
So we wouldn't.
What's that? It doesn't matter. They're sitting council. Yeah, there's you don't give up your right to vote just because you would want to be considered for an appointment.
So if
it makes it very awkward, however.
Yes, it does.
So if you get, you know, multiple people in from the community that, you know, say they do want to apply and you're looking at those applications, do we have to listen to every one of those applications?
No.
Or is that chosen by the council gets to choose who comes in for, you know?
The council gets to decide. There's the only state law requirement is the deadline for making the appointment from the vacancy before it's taken out of your hands, and that the person appointed is eligible to be appointed, which is a resident of a year or longer and a registered voter. So,
is it not a
felon,
though?
What's that?
Is a felony not a – it can't be a felon still?
You can't be a registered voter. Typically, you know, that law might have changed. I have to verify that. But typically, so that's how you guys get to decide how you want to do it. You could just have a very short application period where people would fill out all the same form or just write a free form essay, however you want it. And you could decide to appoint based on the applications. You could do interviews. You could interview some. You could interview none. I mean, it's really the council's pleasure.
Whatever you want to do.
Councilmember Baldwin.
But I would say that any process is unlikely to have a mayor appointed in place ahead of the retreat if that is of concern to the council. If you open it up.
Okay.
Councilmember Baldwin.
As council members, can't we also decide that it would be counterproductive to have, let's say, Hubler and Carter do the application process? I feel like as council members, we can decide that they're not going to do that, but they would interview, like they would come up and interview.
Council can decide however you want.
Okay, I think it would be ridiculous for Councilmember Hubler and Councilmember Carter, if they were part of the mayor, you know, whatever, running, and there was other people here for them to go through the application process. They've already gone through many things. They've been voted in by the people. They've been on council, and so I think you should still interview and answer the questions, which might make it a little weird, but and then have the other people go through the same vetting process that you did for me when I was appointed. I thought that was a very clear vetting process. I do agree with Councilmember Roach. I think you never know. You just never know what's out there, and if there might be an all-star out there that comes from nowhere and they know how to do mayoral duties. So I don't know. I guess I'm open. But yeah.
Okay. Councilmember McClymans.
Yeah, I guess is staff okay without a mayor through the retreat?
They're not without a mayor.
Pardon me?
They're not without a
mayor. We would be leaning on the deputy mayor for that.
There you go.
He would temporarily fill that role.
Okay, so through the retreat, just so I understand the timing and the staff's comfort, so through the end of the retreat, Deputy Mayor Carter will be acting pro tem mayor, and then potentially the 26th, is that the next date there? Yeah, the 26th is when we could have interviews and appoint a new mayor, and then it would be probably April 9th before we would have another council member.
It would likely be the end of April before you would have another council member if you appointed someone on March 26th, because the vacancy would, if you appointed a sitting council member to the mayor position, when they take the oath of office as mayor is the time and date that the vacancy on the council would occur, and it's after that then you would advertise for applications. So you'd probably have a week or 10 days for applications. Then you would have the interviews after that, council discussion after that. So it would likely be late April at the earliest before you would have the 7th council member, if the council member is appointed mayor.
Thank you.
What to do, guys? I see the valid points, though, with what they're saying. I do, because yes, they're, you know, we both, you know, love what we do, but maybe there is somebody out there better. Not saying there is, but maybe there is. I don't know. I've seen, you know, I've been in the process before of the appointments, and it's not usually very many people that come forward even on a city council appointment. And then you think about the mayorship and how many people actually ran for the mayorship this last time. And it's not a lot of people that really actively get involved in their, you know, local government. I see that. It's all too often that they just don't, for whatever reason, which blows my mind, because there's so much to learn if you get involved. So I don't know, I'm kind of mixed on it, guys.
Well, we were primaried for mayor in 2021, and then we were also primaried on one council this last year, primaried. Mm-hmm. So, and every position had somebody running for it for council, so... I don't know. It seems like there might be some interest, but I don't know.
Go ahead,
I'm
please.
Still,
yeah. So I was just going to tell the council, you don't have to make a decision on what way you want to go tonight. This is all kind of rather new. We can just tee this up for a discussion. We'll put some information about the appointments process in the council packet for next week, and the council can decide next week how you want to go. So... if that's the calendar, it sounds like people want some time to think about it.
We will be able to discuss it next week, though.
Yeah, we'll put it on the council agenda for next week. You guys can decide at that point, because it doesn't sound like there's a decision tonight, what process you want to use, what the timing is, et cetera. And we'll put some information in the packet about appointments in general, just so that it confirms what we've already told you verbally tonight, if that's the council's pleasure.
I think that would be a wise move, in that it's it is all very new. We haven't had a lot of time to really think about, you know, what that process should be, what it should look like. It gives us a little bit of time to think about it, come back, and then, you know, make some decisions. So I would support that.
I agree.
I would support that as well.
Okay, we will do that
next week.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
All right. Bye. Is that it? With nothing else, we are adjourned.
That's it.
Announcements, guys, right. Wants to come out.
Anything else anybody wants to bring up?
Wants to come out of the closet or anything?
Yeah.
And OMG.
Good night.
Good night, folks.
Good night, Mrs. McClymans.
It is pretty new.
So that's weird. Yeah, usually you can't be a federal employee and be a executive or something like that.
That's crazy. Yeah.
But of course, that's Indians. I wonder if that's a federal or like, or it's actually
probably
federal.
Then.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
You're interested.
Good night. Hey, good night. Thanks.
See you next time. Dan,
thanks for the evening, right?
Like, hey, I'd like to be mayor too.
But I do think.